Welcome to the Go Bucket Yourself podcast. I'm Deb.
And I'm Chris.
We've traded in the ordinary and predictable to discover what the path of authenticity, adventure, meaning, and connection might look like. We're parents of two wonderful young ladies.
We're partners, travel bugs, co-creators, and early retirees that stepped away from predictable paychecks to live our bucket list lives. In this podcast, we share stories of people who are navigating the sometimes messy middle stages of life and attempting to come out the other side, having led a meaningful and authentic life, while steering clear of a midlife crisis if we can help it.
In season three of the Go Bucket Yourself podcast, we're talking about rewriting your story. We're taking lessons from our guests and ourselves to serve as inspiration to help you make your next big leap into the extraordinary.
Thank you so much for joining us, and now on to today's episode. Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Go Bucket Yourself podcast. We have been on a bit of a break that we did not announce or do a very good job of even really planning, but it just came upon us, and it felt good to stay in that break. And so we broke, and we have been breaking, and we're ready to end the break. Is that right, Deb?
Possibly.
Oh, possibly. Well, shit, why are we recording if we're not ending the break?
Well, we're ready or not, we are ending the break.
Oh, okay. So the ready part was the potentially not done. So yeah, we ended fairly abruptly, but now we have a little bit of energy and are going into a season of releasing some episodes that we had already recorded. Plus we have some solo episodes in our mind. So yeah, welcome back to the show. We intend to be releasing new episodes every Thursday, henceforth until we communicate if we're taking another break again between this season and not. But I guess before we move on to the meat and potatoes of like what we've been up to and what's coming with the Go Bucket Yourself podcast and with our brand, Go Bucket Yourself, I do think that it's worthy of just mentioning like breaks are good, right? Sometimes we get too caught up in like, this thing's really important, this thing's really special, so why don't I just keep doing it, or why don't I give it that same amount of energy that I have been doing it and all that kind of stuff. So want to riff a couple minutes on that, Deb, or no?
Yeah, I totally agree that breaks are good. In my deepest knowing, I know that whatever is meant for me personally, you, the community of Go Bucket Yourself, will happen regardless of, oh, we need a rest, let's take a rest, right? But algorithms and like modern technology would, I think, very clearly disagree with that. And so it's just a matter of staying grounded in that truth rather than getting caught up in, the idea of what will happen if we take a break and we don't release an episode every Thursday and we're on this, growth trajectory, and every time there's a break that does take a dip. So I think that's where maybe the difficulty lies. But the truth is, with a podcast or otherwise, when you need rest, yes, it's okay to take a rest. And for whatever reason, we need to continually give ourselves permission for that. And if you need permission for that, this is your permission now.
Permission slip granted.
Not that you do or that mine is the ultimate, but yes, anyone who needs or feels like they need permission to take a break, take the break, man.
Yeah. And so if there's something stirring inside of you that resonates just from us saying like, hey, we took a break and now we're back from our break, then yeah, pay attention to that. Do some journaling on that. Consider that. Give it some time and attention, because if there's a little whisper of something that maybe you need to take a break from, then yeah, listen to that. And maybe it will serve you, just like I feel more refreshed as we were pulling out the podcasting gear today than I did, at the end of our last season when, we'd been going for several weeks in a row and we're batching episodes here and there and all that kind of stuff. So this feels more sustainable to us. This feels very much in line with where we are, how we live our lives, where we give things a season, we take breaks from those things, We spend time together as a family. We take breaks from that. We spend time with friends. We take breaks from that. We create. We take breaks from that. So, yeah, that's it in a nutshell. But what have we been up to since the listeners last heard us speak with whichever guest they heard us last speak to?
Exactly. That's the question in my mind. When was the last episode released? We've been up to quite a bit if we're just speaking in the season of summer, right? So we graduated a child. We went traveling. We hosted a couple of retreats. We moved a child out of our house and spent so much time at swim meets, which is a very typical summer activity.
Yeah. So I thought maybe we could just dive into a couple of those just to give some context, color, shade to the two people you listen to when you listen to the Go Buck Yourself podcast. And, you know, if you're hanging around, like you're an OG, you've been around for a while, or if you're new, you know, you've heard us on some other podcast or something like that, and you're new to us. Yeah, so just give a little bit of context to who we are. Let's start with, yeah, our daughter, Claire. She graduated from high school. So do you want me to lead in more than that, or you got somewhere to go with that?
No, you go ahead.
Okay, so yeah, that was an interesting little part of life. It's definitely a huge milestone for Claire, and she had a fair amount of anxiety and just like all the considerations that go into, okay, now I'm deemed an adult. What goes into that? And what does society want me to do? What do I want to do? What am I scared of doing? All that kind of stuff. So it was interesting being in her orbit. And it was interesting just as, you know, parents of someone going through that, as well as someone, you know, going through that and then a transition happening to our lives, you know, independent of us, you know, trying to help and coach and guide her and have compassion for her and all that kind of stuff. But just like knowing that, oh, wow, that little two-year-old that used to do these two-year-old-y things is now a young lady that is going to be spending less time with us than she ever has in her life. And so when we walk by her empty room, you know, it stirs up these feelings of sadness and grief and maybe some regret here and there, but it also stirs up these feelings of excitement and hope and brightness for where she's going and, you know, the potential roads that lay afore her. So yeah, that's, it's been interesting as, I won't call us empty nesters from just her. I mean, one, we still have Lila at home.
Thank you.
Well, I meant like empty nesting as a verb, like Claire empty nested us, you know. I guess it's just, it's not empty nesting if you still have another child at home. So whatever the verb, the most appropriate verb is, where Claire mostly moved out.
Yeah, I would just say it's been a transition for everyone, right? So a big transition for Claire, obviously, but then a transition for us as parents and our role as parents. And then just as outside of parent, like who am I now at this stage in my life? And I think sometimes these transitions just serve as what the like jumping off point for that own, like our own personal transition. So just speaking for myself, it has been a lot of questioning and growth and change over the course of a few months when all of this is taking place, and was, I guess, just sort of brought about by this typical life transition, this walk through this rite of passage, right?
Yeah. So as she's transitioned out, she's going to do some nannying outside of our home, for some family, and then we're going to do some travel as a family in Europe here in about a month for us as we're recording and all of that. So we'll get some more time together. But yeah, it's just been interesting as I consider each of those things where it's like, I wonder what it's like to be Debbie right now. I wonder what it's like to be Lila. I wonder what it's like to be Claire. You know, all four of us are going through some level of transition for better or worse. Like just as we're saying this, I've had several parts of worry of like, oh, are we, you know, I hope Lila doesn't feel, you know, like she's not getting as much attention or consideration because Claire's, you know, departure has been very involved. You know, she's gone away and then she's come back for a weekend and yada, yada, yada. So there's a probably a potential for that to come up. So that's just a good opportunity or prompt for us to make sure that we're checking in with Lila. I have done that. And I feel like it's going fine there too. But yeah, so that's one major, what we've been up to, transition, thing that is both sad and exciting going on in our life. Then we did a couple of retreats, this summer.
I think that's a good place to start, 'cause I feel like, at least for me, I can put all the other things within the box of that. Like, that's the framework I'm going out into the world with at the point I'm at in my life right now. And we did host a couple of retreats. I didn't really host two retreats personally, but Go Bucket Yourself, there were the first two ever this summer. So that felt like a big moment.
Yeah. So both of them were collaborations in that we launched a little bit of an idea of doing a retreat, and we kind of got down that road a little bit ourselves in 2022, but it didn't really have legs, effort, energy. I struggled a fair amount with like imposter syndrome and not maintaining the energy. And so in reflection of that, almost was a retreat experience. One or two things that I took away were that I wanted to collaborate. You and I collaborated a fair amount on that. But I also wanted to collaborate with other people, maybe other people's audience that would benefit from what we're trying to do with the world. So that felt a little bit easier of a foray into hosting retreats or adventures or meetup type of space. So we leveraged the Camp Phi audience and reached out to Stephen, the founder and the guy that runs that whole ship, and said like, hey, here's what we're thinking. How does this fit with the Camp Phi brand? And he was like, yeah, let's, he's an amazing guy. So even if he probably thought it was a dumb idea, he probably still would have said yes. But anyways, he said yes. And that was a hit. We took, what was it? Like, what was our last number? Like 20 some? 22?
I think 22, including four people like you and I and moms who helped with food.
So let's call it 18 guests or 18, you know, attendees type of thing. So yeah, we took 18 attendees into the wild Rocky Mountains in July, and it was at the conclusion of the Camp Phi event that happened in Colorado Springs around the 4th of July weekend. And then we added on 3 or 4 days of that, and yeah, it was cool. Like, there were some new faces. I thought it was mainly just going to be people that already knew us, like personally, like people that we've shook hands with or hugged or whatnot. But there was a fair amount, like the majority was definitely people that did not know us. So they were saying yes to, oh, I want to be in, I'm in Colorado, I want to see some of the things in Colorado. Or they were saying yes to, you know, the Go Bucket Yourself brand, I'm not sure. But anyways, yeah, so we put that on and had that retreat. And it was a huge learning experience slash huge motivation. I felt a lot of excitement. I felt a lot of joy. I felt a lot of stress at times. But yeah, that was a hit. What was your opinion of it?
Yeah, definitely. Overall, an amazing place and way to connect with people. Just gratitude for people showing up and trusting us with their experience. And I feel like it was definitely a like proof of concept or beta version. And like all things, upon reflection, there's things I will do differently next time. But overall, a really good opportunity to connect and experience nature. And I think those were two of the major goals that we had. And I feel like we fulfilled that.
Yeah. I want to share one fun-ish impactful experience from there. So we had three rafts with what, six people each in it?
I think so.
Six or eight?
Eight.
That sounds too much. Anyways, yeah. So we had a few rafts. We had 20-ish people in these rafts, and we aren't the guides of the rafts.
Oh, six. Six, yeah, per raft. Sorry, right? Yeah. Because 18. A little family couldn't go because they had
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so there was 18 of us rafters, and we're going down. We're doing a full day rafting adventure on the Arkansas River, specifically the Browns Canyon area. And so we do our thing. We sign our waivers. We hop in our rafts, get paired with our guides and everything like that. And we're cruising along. And yeah, it was a pretty cool experience because Colorado had a huge snowfall this last year. So that means all that snow melts and that turns the rivers into more exciting compared to years where we don't have as much. So the first half of the day, we did a full day experience, but the first half of the day was like a nice little warm up and everybody was having a good time. They're learning how to row, learning how to do some teamwork and all of that kind of stuff. And there were a lot of exciting faces. I wasn't part of this, but my mom was in your raft, right? And she dumped out.
Yeah, she fell out as our boat tipped up pretty high on one side and she was on the low side and she just slipped out.
She went for a swim, as they say. And I didn't know any of that happened. So I'm in a raft either in front or behind. And then we stop to pull out for lunch as our guides kind of get things ready. And my mom comes up to me and she just has this look on her face. I don't even remember what her words were, but she just said something like, wow, I didn't know it was going to be like that. And I was like, oh, because at this time I didn't know that she went into the river.
And she's rafted like, I think at least three other times before this, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't like her first experience.
Yeah. So I was just like, I can't tell by the deer in the headlights look she's giving me. Like, is she having a lot of fun? Is she having not much fun? Did someone say something inappropriate? I'm like, what's going on here? So eventually, like, I find out like, oh, she fell in the river. And so then she tells me her version of the story. As we're having lunch, I hear other versions of the story. I'm like, oh, okay, mom went in the river. I bet it sounds like it was pretty spooky for her, yada, yada, yada. So at that point, I think she was the only one that took a swim, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So then we have lunch. We're having a good time. The guides are joking around us as like river guides, ski guides, those kind of guys are fun to hang out with. So they're having fun with us. We're having fun with them. And then they're like, okay, it's time to get serious. These next two rapids that are coming up are, you know, definitely the hardest part of the day.
And just to build a little bit, because this was my first experience river rafting. It's not that I've never wanted to go. It's just that I've never wanted to go bad enough that I've chosen it over something else. And when we kind of pulled the community campfire and go bucket yourself communities, there was a pretty clear consensus that people wanted to go river rafting. So that was something we made sure was a part of our itinerary. And on the way to put our rafts in the water, we're all riding this old school bus together and the head rafter gets up with his like paddle. That's what they're called, right?
Yeah. Paddle actually, I think is the right.
Yeah. And so I didn't expect them to be so like putting the fear into you, but they definitely put fear into you on your way there. So I felt like your description of deer in the headlights is kind of how I felt getting out of the bus, like getting ready to put this raft in the water. Like, this is to be taken seriously. And there's this one point where he takes his oar and he just like shoves it really hard up against the roof of the bus. And everyone jumps to like show how hard you could hit someone with your paddle or oar, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. And so there was that level of seriousness at first just getting in. And then the morning went fairly smoothly other than your mom like going in, but we felt like, oh, we handled that. That was okay. No one died. And then after lunch, the level of seriousness went up like 10 times, I thought, just getting in the water, the way they talk to you about what's coming up.
Yeah. Well, cause like, even like to Debbie's point, I have rafted before. So I wasn't really that much nervous about myself rafting. I was nervous mainly because it's like, in some ways, I feel responsible for these people saying yes to this event today. So I hope nothing bad happens. So then, you know, like he's talking about the river's running high right now. Like every cubic foot is, think of like a chicken. And so the river is running at 1,200 cubic feet per second. So like that's 1,200 chickens, you know, every second that'd be hitting you, you know. So it's like, it's a lot of things. So even then, the morning talk, even though there was some seriousness to it, it still had a lot of is it levity? Is levity?
Yeah, that's good.
A lot of levity to it. Whereas the afternoon talk, all the levity went out the window. Like my guide, who was kind of like, yo, bro, kind of guy, he was like, okay, guys, no, here we go. So this part coming up here, 50% of us will be in the water. I'm like, whoa, shit. Did you say 50 or 15 or
each
5?
Each part has different directions. So you're like trying to breathe through like your nervous system getting ramped up and like still maintain a level of ease and calm. And then they're like, well, this section is called this. And if you fall in on this section, swim this way and do this. And then you get to the next. Each section has a different direction that I can't remember all of as I'm like paddle 3 stroke, you know. So, yeah, it just felt like, oh, my gosh, are we going to make it past this afternoon?
Yeah. And so then my guide, I could tell the shift in his seriousness. And so then I went into my own level of seriousness for me, but I also for whatever reason, really wanted to take you aside and say, make sure your feet are in the fucking cups.
Oh, yeah. This is right before I get in. I'm like, that was such a good lunch. We're having fun. Da, da, da. And you pull me aside, like, get your feet in. Like, you did cuss, I think. I can't remember exactly what you said.
I just wanted you to be very secure.
I'm doing that. Okay, I will do that. That's my plan. Yeah.
So we went through the class 3s prior to lunch. We had lunch, then the 2 class 4s, Slidell Suckhole, and I can't remember the next one.
You said Slidell Suckhole, right?
Yeah, Slidell's Suckhole.
Yeah, it was quick, yeah. So.
So basically, that's the one where 50% of the rafters go in.
Well, one of them had something that alluded to death in the name of it. I can't remember what it was, but it was like, oh, this is because someone died here.
Yeah, but that wasn't either of those class 4s. I think Liberty Falls, I think it's like Slidell Suckhole and Liberty Falls or something.
Anyway.
So we start heading out to do Slidell Suckhole, the first class 4 for us of the day. And I don't even remember all of the details. I do remember a detail where the lead raft goes in to the suckhole, and sure as shit, the suckhole does what it does, and it starts sucking their raft. And the raft goes vertical, and all of the people pretty much go in the water. So it went
literally all but 2, and that raft happened to have 2 children on it. So it was pretty spooky, and they were the first raft. So the next 2 rafts behind them saw that happen and had the serious talk of, at least in our raft, the talk was like, if you don't paddle as hard as you physically can through this part, we are going to tip over, and just know that's going to happen. And so there was already all this pressure. And then that happened.
Yeah. So we were right behind them. So I saw the raft go vertical. I saw people start to fall in the river. I'm at the front of our raft and listening to our guide, who's doing his job well. He's, you know, calling out the strokes and da, 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 da. We clear the suckhole, fine, with zeal and all that. But then he immediately goes into, okay, he had us flip to where we were basically going down backwards, so all of our eyes could then see upriver where all of our raft one people are now in the river, and so we could have a better place to see them and rescue them. And so he's like, okay, guys, now go get them and all that kind of stuff. So then, yeah, it's one of those where we cleared the suckhole for ourselves. So that level of anxiety has disappeared, you know, and then a millisecond later, seeing the paddles and the people from the other boat all scattered throughout there just immediately hit me as like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm seeing the kids are in the, or I saw Devin was in the water. One of the kids was in the water. I saw the other adults in the water and like, oh shit, this is serious. Our guide's still barking out orders because he needs the people not in rescue mode to keeping our raft, you know, doing its thing so that we are in a good position to help and not creating more of a problem for ourselves. So then it was probably only 5 minutes of rescuing, but that 5 minutes felt like an eternity. And in the aftermath of getting everybody rescued out of the river and into our raft temporarily till we got to the side of the river where we could kind of get everyone reorganized, it was just like, damn, that felt like I had done 10 workouts, you know, in 2 minutes. Like I was just like wiped and spent. My brain, my nervous system, all of that stuff was just like on edge. And yeah, that changed the course of the day for me.
Yeah. I think another surprising thing was for almost everyone other than you and the little family who had a boy go in, which I think increases the level of anxiety and seriousness. By the time we got back on the bus, pretty much everyone had just shook it all off and they were ready to party that night. It was 4th of July. And so while some of you, about four of you, were having this like adrenaline dump, like hangover, the rest of everyone else was like, well, what's up next?
Yeah. So, what's for dinner?
Yeah. Anyway, everyone survived, but it was quite a story to tell. And the only time you've ever gone rafting that the boats have ever tipped, right?
Yeah. I'd only done class three up to that point. So, so I've never seen anyone, like anyone that I knew that I was rafting with, I've never heard of them or seen them go in the water. And I've never, definitely never then had to pull anyone out of the water. So in retrospect, I think it was a great experience to learn like, oh shit, if we're going to take people into situations that there is some level of risk, now that went from being a thought exercise to this could happen. So we just want to be super clear on those kinds of things moving forward. And if I do want to continue river rafting, which I do, and doing harder stuff, which I think I do this summer proved that, then yeah, I'm going to have to learn how to go in the water myself at some point, as well as help other people out of the water. So yeah. So that was a long story, but it was a fun trip, that first trip. And we, Deb and I did that one, you know, together. We had some help from our mothers and that was amazing. And we just had a great group of people. We got some good feedback. We both learned some things that we would iterate on for the next version of that type of retreat. And yeah, so that was amazing.
Yep. Loved hanging with people and getting to know them better.
So, yeah. Yep. And I'll do a fast forward version of the Front Row Dads retreat. That was the other one that we collaborated with. I did a lot of the work on that one. So it was mainly me in this Front Row Dads community men's group. We collaborated I collaborated with the owner, founder, John Broman, and said similarly to what I said to Stephen at Camp Fi, like, hey, I want to put this on to your community. How do you feel about that? Yada, yada, yada. He said, cool. And so put that together with my brother Ali. So Ali and I led that retreat for other guys in the FRD community, similar-ish in many ways, but there was a backpacking component. It was just for members of the Front Row Dads. And we also went river rafting, but just 3 weeks later, the river was like a completely different beast. Like it was much tamer and we only did the half day section with that. So that was an amazing experience as well, which I also came back with some good feedback and some ideas for how we'll use that for future events. So be looking forward, if you did not join us on those first two events, be looking forward to future collaborations and future like independent events where it's just members of the Go Bucky Yourself community, whether they overlap with these others or not.
Definitely. And don't be afraid to give us a heads up. Like if you're interested in one, what you would like to see happen at one, what your priorities or goals would be for a retreat.
Yeah. Cause the intention will always be, at least for this, this current chapter of life, that they're going to be smaller, intimate. So there will be more opportunity for someone to influence like, hey, what about this place? What about this type of activity? Where I'm in that mode now of kind of thinking about brainstorming some places and all of that. So yeah, be on the lookout for those. If that sounds like fun or you want to join us to adventure, connect and grow in nature, that's what we love to do. So
we also are really good at making something we plan as like a brief topic to talk about kind of long. So
yeah.
Now we can wrap up what the rest of the summer was. And
our audience has had a nice long break from us, Debbie. So they can maybe indulge us a little frivolity or a little as we went over a bit on the rafting talk from the first one. Yeah. So that's pretty much what we've been up to. I've been doing a project with my dad. I've been talking about it for years, but we're actually making progress in the physical form. And so my dad's come out a couple times, helped us to put together this outdoor kitchen, and we reclaimed some barn wood from my stepdad's barn. That's at least 100 years old. And so it looks, anyways, it's coming together. That's been fun. It's been great to have the free time to work with my dad, who's retired. So it's kind of been fun. You know, I think that's one of the cool parts about this early retirement chapter is being able to have abundant Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday time, you know, with my dad, who's also got abundance in that area. So,
yeah, if you happen to watch my Instagram stories, it's made some features on there, not deliberately, but just by being in my backyard, you can see that taking shape in different forms. So
indeed, indeed. So yeah, that's been part of it. We've got a new homeschool look. I put this as a bullet point that we've been up to. So you're headed back to a classroom.
Yeah. New fun thing to try for me. I don't know. We'll see where this goes, but just teaching a homeschool group once a week-ish for a couple semesters. All aero, it's called Aero Lab. So it's really aerospace related. It's STEAM. So science, technology, engineering, art, math focus, but particularly in aerospace with this group. So our daughter's 13 now, our youngest, and wanting to challenge her educationally. So it will hopefully do that. I didn't really think I wanted to go back to the classroom, so this is interesting and trying it out, see how it goes.
Yep, cool. So yeah, the nice part is our daughter has been doing this experience, but it was a town 30 minutes away. And so now there was enough interest in our own town, and the quote unquote classroom is only a block and a half away from us. So, so that will cut down on the commute times, the travel here and there, but definitely more of an,
instead of driving once a day,
you are,
'cause I carpooled, I'm staying the whole day and planning multiple days beforehand. So yes, it's different. Hopefully good. Yeah.
And you're better. None of us are perfect, but you're better at setting boundaries and knowing what you're saying yes to. And so I feel like you went into this eyes wide open, yet it wasn't like a 100% yes. Like it wasn't a hell yes.
No, definitely not. I mean, I do homeschool my daughter, so there is responsibility there. I kept looking for obstacles. There were none. And it felt like it was the right thing to do, but I didn't commit beyond this year, and I still haven't committed beyond this year. So it's kind of like a trial, but I know getting it started is all that was necessary in this case, and that getting it started in this year, it can keep going in future years, even if I'm not involved as closely as I am now. So it is an interesting topic because I think a lot of people see us as retired in quotes, but I do several jobs. You know, do jobs. And this is,
I play Zelda.
This is literally a job I will be getting paid for. I have another job selling insurance. And so, yeah, just trying to balance how many things I say no to. And I do want this stage of my life to be about saying hell yes, and not just like, I guess so. So this was a trickier decision. And I think there's plenty of growth still available in it. Like I felt myself needing more confidence and more authority where I had kind of lost that because I've been out of the classroom for years and years. Whereas I wouldn't have questioned myself or my techniques or my motives, you know, back when I left the classroom. I certainly was this last week when I taught. And so that has been a good lesson for me. And the hope is I experience more growth in my level of confidence and authority with the things that I actually know and I'm somewhat of an expert at.
Nice. Yes. Yep. So my intention is to try to assist you and to assist in several ways. But yeah, you're definitely the lead on that one, taking that role. But it is fun. Like it's nice because our daughter really enjoys this social element of this homeschool groups, get togethers, but we were able to, because you are now the lead teacher. We were able to control the schedule a little bit better. So it has to fit around your schedule. So we had
that was a pro for sure.
So we were able to basically say like, okay, here's Debbie's schedule for the next 9 months. Make this fit around it. And it did. And then,
which was surprising because we have a month of travel this semester and a month of travel next semester, essentially. So I was looking for that to be my no so that I didn't have to say no. So I was like, well, sorry, but
yeah.
And they're like, yeah, not a problem.
Yep. And then, and while it is aerospace, specific, and that's intentional on their side, there is some flexibility that we're hoping to explore with not being so aerospace specific, because there are plenty of kids in the group that enjoy the aerospace element. And then there's probably other ways of achieving some STEAM to find some interests within these kids that isn't so aerospace heavy. So we'll be doing that. Debbie will be doing that. I'll be watching and helping from time to time.
Yeah.
So yeah, what's coming down the road for Go Bucky Yourself? Be looking for more podcasts. We've got this season of the podcast coming up. We've got a few solo episodes. We didn't do much of that last season, and that was both Deb and I's desires to do more solo episodes where we take a topic or a book or a concept and just go between the two of us rather than always having a guest on. So,
well, I think that's your desire always. Oh, and sorry. I'm always like, let's get this guest. Let's get this guest. So it's like a balance of the two.
Okay, cool. So it'll be more balanced is what I meant to say for this coming season. We've got a, do you have any guests that you're like, yeah, I feel confident. Let's actually say names or topics or anything
like
that.
Oh, you mean that we're going to get?
Yeah.
Well, I know who we have, which will be cool. If you've gone to Economy, if you're listening to this, there's a fairly good chance that you've been to Economy. So we have a couple of the Economy stage speakers, Barbara Sloan, who is always a pleasure to be around and talk to. And another Economy stage speaker. We have someone I met at Economy, Brandon, who is transitioning into a coaching career, who came on. So those will be exciting. And I do have hopes that I'm pretty sure we'll be able to get, like, I know Jillian John Schrute is publishing a new book, and I would love to get her back on. This might be the third time if she comes back on, I'm not sure, to talk about retiring often. So that's her platform right now.
Yep.
Yeah, but specifically retiring often is what she's calling that. And then maybe hoping to get Jonah Jensen, who I don't know if you listened to his episode. If you're listening now, maybe you heard him talk about going to nature. We called it Going to Nature with a Whole Heart. Had a really great response from that episode. And he's always great to talk to. So those are a couple I had in mind that I think would be helpful in this next season.
Yeah, nice. Yep, I've got some folks that I want to reach out to yet, but I haven't reached out to them. So it might be premature to say who they are, but yeah. So adventure, connection, growth, those are the topics, you know, in general that we talk about. We focus a lot on growth, growing, as parents, growing as people in their middle ages, growing as a husband, as a wife, growing as just, you know, people that are part of various communities and all that kind of stuff. So hopefully, you know that already if you're listening to this, but, yeah, what else is coming? We're going to be doing some European travel here soon, as we mentioned. We just hired virtual assistants to be able to give us even more freedom. So I'm excited to kind of go down that road of taking this idea, proof of concept, vetting it out and seeing how that can impact our lives or add more peace and freedom to our lives. But we're getting ready to head off to Europe as a family of four. And if you ask, I think everyone but Chris for far too long. I even think it's a long amount of time, but everyone else is probably the other three in my family are like, oh, this is a long time. So we have our first year without a work calendar or a public school calendar. So I really wanted to test the waters of what I thought we were going to be doing 3 or 4 years ago, which is spending months at a time traveling or living in a different place and then coming back home to our base camp in between those moments. So we will be doing that. We have some time in Europe I will probably be over there for about 2 months, and you guys will be over there for about a month, and then we'll be doing something similar-ish in the winter months with Costa Rica.
Yeah. To be clear, I'm totally cool with the amount of time, but okay. I feel the weight of our daughter's pressure more than you do, possibly, or whatnot. And both of our daughters have reasons to want to be back. So
absolutely,
they are a little less thrilled about being gone for a long time than we are.
Yep.
So that's it.
So that's that. And we also have, we're starting to, like I mentioned before, ruminate on next year's retreats. So I will talk to the people that we're thinking about collaborating with, as well as bringing up some of our independent retreats and everything. So that's yeah. that. That's 40 minutes of what was supposed to be a 15-minute conversation.
Pretty thorough. So a call to you listening. Let us know if there's a guest or a topic you'd like to hear on this season. And if there's an idea you have for a retreat activity, adventure, or location, we'd love to hear it. You can find us on Instagram, message us there really easily, or shoot us an email.
Yep. So the Instagrams are at bucketyourself to get a hold of me directly, at imperfectprogress.me for Deborah. And you can find both of those things on our website, gobucketyourself.com, as well as hit us up there. But yeah, the Instagram DMs will probably find us the fastest. And yes, we would love to hear from you. That is the call to action from this episode, is to, yeah, reach out if you have anything, any ideas, any questions. Your questions help us to curate the content that we will be bringing next season. So whether that's, we don't really touch much on real estate, but I'm getting questions about real estate all the time. So if we could hit a couple questions that people have more commonly, maybe we can fluff those in and get those answered for y'all. But yep, we are here for you, and we are here for ourselves, and we are back from our break, and we're excited. So take care, and until next time.